Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom Appel. Thanks for joining us today. When you get a chance, hey, look, that's standing up.
Squirrel.
My notes are just standing up on their side. When you get a chance, check us out at consumerguide.com. While you're there, check out our 2024 Best Buy picks. This list is an excellent starting point if you're looking for a new car or truck. And you can listen to back episodes of the podcast right there on our homepage. How cool is that?
That's cool.
All right. That voice is Jill Simonello. She is the managing editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk. She's a North American Car of the Year juror, and her freelance work can be found everywhere. There are things I cannot remember.
And my job title is one of those things.
Yeah. One of them was when I used to work with Damon in the same office and another guy, there was some restaurant we went to all the time, and one of the doors was the two glass doors.
Right.
One of them was always locked. I always pushed on the locked door. Every single time.
Okay. I'm sure in some plane of existence, that's a sign of intelligence.
I'm sure it is someplace.
It's like pushing the pull.
It may not be in this plane.
Pushing the pull door.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
I started to ask you a question just as the music started.
You did.
Do you own a cat?
I do not.
Do you own a dog?
I do not.
Have you ever owned a cat or dog?
Yeah. Well, kind of. Family.
Later in the show.
Okay.
I'm excited. We have Steve Dale.
Okay.
Of Steve Dale's Pet World, joining us on the show to talk about driving long distances with pets in the car.
Oh, I could talk a little bit about that.
Okay.
We moved several times as a kid with two cats in the car.
There you go.
Yeah.
And my daughter, we talked about this.
Yeah.
1,000 miles from Fort Collins, Colorado to Palatine, Illinois.
Yeah.
Bit of a drive.
Yeah.
She Velcros the cat to the roof, which is fun. Which has gone pretty well so far.
So far, it's like a hood ornament.
The cat's really annoyed.
Yeah.
But everyone arrives safe and happy and healthy.
And people are amused along the route.
Yeah. Speaking of Velcro, or things not sticking, this is the opposite of Velcro.
Okay.
Our friend, our ex-friend, Sam Fiorani.
Why would you call him an ex-friend?
Because he's bringing me bad news.
Okay.
Today's global EV report.
Okay.
Which he shares with select very famous people.
Right. Who are called Tom and have a last name that rhymes with Apple.
Yeah. His headline was Fisker : is the end near?
Oh, okay.
The deal we discussed,
Fisker
was going to turn to Nissan, does not seem to be happening.
Okay.
The other problem here, I think, is that the Fisker Ocean, the vehicle that's out there, has proven problematic.
Yeah. Did you see the Consumer Reports review?
Yeah.
Ouch.
It's not good.
No, it is not.
And I'm wondering if the architecture on which it's based, which I believe is exclusive to Fisker, is not being deemed to be something that people would want to build more vehicles on. In which case, Fisker has nothing because they don't produce their own vehicles. They farm that out to Magna. So we have Fisker. We've seen three vehicles that look really great, but they may not be really great, and only one of them is going to get built, and maybe not for much longer.
Womp womp.
So that's a bummer.
Okay, but I don't think that's enough to call Sam an ex-friend over. I'm surprised
It's not Sam's fault. Sam's awesome.
He gets to, for the people who are longtime listeners, they'll get this reference. He gets to keep his yellow jacket.
Yes. We need to have Sam back on again soon. So there you have that. Have you heard of Cupra?
In a vague sense, yes.
Me too.
Yes.
Very vaguely.
Yes.
Until it's news now.
Yes.
But the news is very vague.
It is also incredibly vague.
So Cupra, C-U-P-R-A.
Not Chupacabra.
No, but it looks like that. And I keep wanting to spell it with a K.
Okay.
Is a division of a division of Volkswagen.
Of a division of a division?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seat, which is Volkswagen's Spanish subsidiary,
yes,
has been using Cupra as a performance sub-brand, like AMG at Mercedes-Benz or M Performance at BMW, something like that. It's also now its own brand.
Okay.
Which is interesting, and they make a few vehicles, not all electric. However, the story here is that we may see the Cupra brand in the U.S. before 2030. And that's about all the news we know.
And that is where the vagary ends.
Yeah, yes. The brand's coming here. It is probably It is probably all electric. Sam has checked in.
I'm like, my watch keeps vibrating.
Sam, we're still friends. Even if you depressed me early on a Monday.
Oh, he says he's glad to remain a friend of the show.
Okay, good. But Cooper's coming to the U.S. probably only as EV. If they come to the U.S. in EV, they're going to make the cars here, which means they're probably going to make them in Chattanooga.
Okay.
Volkswagen's big factory.
Yep.
Volkswagen's big factory. That might be Union by then.
Yeah, so that was some interesting conversations that were being had last week.
Now, we all have union fatigue.
Yeah.
But it's looking like the union may actually unionize a non-American brand.
Yeah, and that would be the very first one. And then, you know, I listened to The Daily from Automotive News.
Yeah.
Which
is a great podcast.
Great podcast.
I hate to promote other podcasts because people only have so much time.
Right.
But that's a good one.
That's a good one. And Jamie Butters, who
is awesome. I'm
the
a
editor
fan.
There. He's going to be on the show soon.
Yep. Looking forward to that. To talk some Tesla.
Yes. And maybe some other things. But yes. Yeah. But that has been the talk of that podcast lately, is about what happens if Volkswagen goes union and who could be next.
Well, the next seems to be Mercedes.
Yep.
Mercedes in Alabama.
Yep.
Mercedes and BMW, we're not paying close to scale, if there is something we can call scale.
Right.
So there might not be the employee loyalty there.
Right.
That you would find at other makers.
Right.
Like Toyota doesn't seem to want to go union.
No.
But Toyota is also famously good to its employees.
Yeah. And you know, there were a whole bunch of automakers, and I think Toyota could have been one of them, but Hyundai, I believe, was definitely one of them, that when the union deals went through for Ford, General Motors, and Stellantis, they gave their employees a raise.
Right away.
Yeah, right away.
Which, that's not out of the good kindness of their hearts. That's you're making a lot of money.
Yeah,
you don't want to go through this craziness.
No, you don't. So let's just nip this in the bud.
But you and I toured the Toyota plant. Is it in Evansville, Indiana? Or no, it's in Illinois.
No, it's
way south.
I think it's in Indiana.
Wherever. What a beautiful plant.
Yeah.
Big, clean, bright, airy. Everyone eats at the same time. It just seems like a very nice place. And then the people, obviously these people were selected for presentation, seemed super happy.
Of course.
I guess you wouldn't put a grumpy person there.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
All right. So that's that stuff. I brought two fun charts to share with you today.
And forgot them?
From polls I conducted on X/Twitter.
Okay.
And I forgot them.
Okay.
But that's okay, because we have two cars to talk about today.
We do.
And we will. Now we're going to get to them.
Yes.
We always over-plan for the first segment.
Yeah.
And we always kill something.
Yeah.
But today we're going to get to both.
Hopefully.
So I'm going to say both.
Okay.
And then we're committed.
We are committed.
First of all, there's a redesigned Hyundai Santa Fe.
Yep.
So that's a big deal. And you just drove the redesigned Ford Ranger.
I did. I actually drove both of them.
So these are both pretty important cars.
They are.
So why don't you tell us about the Santa Fe first? What's going on there?
Yeah. So Hyundai has been on a tear lately with their design, and they have really kind of shaken up the box. And their whole new...
Though it looks like a box.
It does look like a box, but it's been shaken, not stirred. But no, they have kind of implemented this new... They call it a chess piece design strategy, where they don't...
Chess piece.
Chess piece. Because, like, the bishop doesn't look like the queen, doesn't look like the king, doesn't look like a pawn.
Oh.
Right?
Oh, so their portfolio.
Yes. So their whole portfolio. And the idea being that they don't... And I believe at one point, this is kind of funny, I can't remember who said it, but one of the designers essentially called every other automaker lazy in their design.
Maybe.
Because he's like, you know, we don't want to go for this... family resemblance. We want purpose-built, purpose-designed vehicles for a specific customer. So looking at this Hyundai Santa Fe, which is a little bit more boxy, a little bit bigger, it has a standard third row, and there is no third row delete, so let's just say it has a third row. It's built for somebody who occasionally needs a third row passenger, and the third row is actually usable and comfortable for somebody my size, who's like the size of a 10-year-old.
Which is interesting, because this is the differentiation used to be Santa Fe two row.
Right.
And then the Palisade.
Yeah.
was three row.
Yep.
Very comfortable three row.
Yes, very comfortable three row. But, you know, Palisade is still bigger. I actually,
more
you
expensive.
Know, and more expensive. And I have an article I wrote several months ago about the differences between the Santa Fe and the Palisade. So I'll send that to you to link to from the, because there's still
and then when
a
I
very
forget,
big,
remind me.
Yes, there's still a very big differentiation. But the idea is that the person who's going to buy Santa Fe is going to be a little bit more active, lifestyle-y. Uh-huh.
So I wouldn't buy it. I'm a TV watcher.
Okay, then no.
Yeah, I don't
that
surf.
Would not be, unless you want something that just looks really flipping cool. Then maybe you'd also be that buyer.
It does look cool. I don't love the look.
It's very polarizing.
Yeah, and the rear three-quarter look, and that's from behind to the side, is weird and plain.
It is very boxy and blank, and the lighting signature... Blank.
Oh, blank.
Blank.
Okay.
Not blink. Blank.
I'm not up on the hip. Hip vocabulary, so.
Yeah, it's very blink. But no, so it's...
If you told me that was a thing, I would totally believe you.
I'm sure you would.
Again, I now spend my nights watching Barney Miller. That's how hip I am.
Okay, moving on. But so, you know, the polarizing design, a lot of people don't like that rear three-quarter, but the lighting signatures are pretty cool. They've gone with a new, like, H... kind of themed lighting signature, so the taillights are in the shape of an H, and then you have this long H because you have the bar that goes across the back center, and it's the same on the front, H-shaped, and then the bar for a bigger H. You know, one of the big controversies on this vehicle in terms of styling is the rear blinkers are very low, or turn indicators. People give me a hard time for saying blinker. What do you say?
I say turn signal.
Turn signal, turn indicator, turn signal, blinker. All the same thing.
I stopped saying blinkers when Barney Miller was new.
I don't think I was born yet when Barney Miller was new.
You were not. But I wasn't watching it, though.
Okay. So, at any rate, but the turn indicators, turn signals, whatever you would like to call those things, are very low on the back. And they're not amber, which a lot of people want amber turn signals or indicators or whatever. But at any rate.
Which is weird because I was under the impression that amber turn signals were the law.
Nope.
But I guess not.
They are not.
Yeah.
Cross that
off a thing I believe for 50 years.
Exactly. So love or hate the design, the interior is really plush. They've got some nice design features, heated and ventilated front seats, available Napa leather. So if you're looking at the top tier calligraphy trim, suede liners, you've got just really like heated rear seats. You just have some really nice up-level finishing touches. There's climate controls in the third row. So no heated third row seats, but you can control the airflow and vent from the third row.
So did the folks at Hyundai talk all about moving this up market?
No, because, they really didn't.
Because they have.
Yeah.
It's $3,000 more expensive than it was before.
Yeah.
Almost a 10% bump.
Yeah.
And it's gone premium, right? The base engine is now a 2.5 liter turbo.
Yep.
So the old normally aspirated, that's inside for non-turbo.
Yeah.
The old normally aspirated engine is gone.
Yep.
From a car, I love the old Santa Fe.
Yeah.
So does this ride and handle as well? It's obviously more luxurious and more expensive.
You know what? I like this a lot better as
a
petite person.
Oh.
Because the previous Santa Fe, like, I had some weird issues with my legs hitting things on the underbelly of the dash and the steering column and things. Like, it wasn't set up for a petite driver. This is much more comfortable for a petite driver. And plus, you have the XRT trim, which is kind of mid-level, because I think it goes SE, SEL... XRT limited, and then you've got the top tier calligraphy trim. So the XRT is in the middle of the pack with off-road features. I think it has an extra inch of ground clearance. And
that is more seriously off-road this year.
It is. It is. And it's got some good skid plates and things underneath. And we did an off-road course in that vehicle that was, not rebel level crazy, but it was significant.
Yeah.
And so overall, really like it. And I was driving for the most of the day the top tier calligraphy trim, and it's under $50,000. And it's funny because I asked my viewers, I'm like, give me a price for this. What do you think it would cost, like with this Napa leather and all of these up level features? And people were thinking $10,000 to $15,000 more.
That seems to be the new sweet spot, the new post COVID. Cars cost more sweet spot is a very premium mainstream car that represents some value.
Yeah.
That seems to be where people are shopping now.
Yeah.
And Hyundai nails it because they nail that with the Palisade too.
Yeah.
You can do a lot of Palisade for under $50,000.
Yeah.
And obviously you can do a lot of Santa Fe for under $50,000.
Yeah.
So is there just the one engine though?
It will have a hybrid powertrain, but that is not here yet. And other parts of the U.S., of the world, will get like a plug-in hybrid, and I believe they get a fourth powertrain as well, but I can't remember what it is. But we will only get the hybrid and the turbo that we drive.
To date, the last generation of Hyundai hybrids has been pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, some were cranky. Now, some people complained already. I've read reviews of this vehicle, have complained about the dual clutch transmission. Your thoughts?
So two things. First off, I believe it's the same transmission that you'll find in the Hyundai Santa Cruz, and I didn't have a problem with it in the Hyundai Santa Cruz. Didn't have a problem with it in the Santa Fe while I was driving it. But I think one of the primary complaints that we're finding is, and I don't know if this is a Hyundai issue, a supplier issue, or whatever, but our friends at Car Confection, so I don't know if you follow them at all. They have a really good... So they're MAMA members, Midwest Automotive Media Association
Car
members.
Confections?
Car Confections, yep. Yeah. They have a YouTube channel.
I do not.
Anybody out there, if you're interested in the Hyundai Santa Fe, check out their channel, because they bought one. And at 27 miles, 27, not 2,700, 27 miles... they needed to have their transmission completely replaced.
Well, that seems bad.
That's kind of bad.
We should talk real quick about a double clutch transmission, often called an automated manual. Mm-hmm. It's an automatic.
Yeah.
It's lighter, it's smaller, and it's often considered sportier because there are two clutches.
Yeah.
And one is always ready to engage either an even or odd number gear. That's how they do that. So you get really crisp, fast shifts.
Mm-hmm.
However, they may not always be smooth. It depends on the car. Yeah. Like the dual clutch that Volkswagen was using, like in the GTI,
mm-hmm.
holy crap, that's good. That's that's like one of the best.
Yeah.
And there have been some very bad ones. So, all right. Now, to be clear, we're talking about the 2025.
Yep.
Okay. 2024 is the old version.
Yes.
When does this go on sale?
Already on sale.
Okay.
Yep. It's been on sale for, I think, of a couple months now.
All right, sounds good. And then we're going to talk about the Ford Ranger.
Briefly.
Well, we got 3.5 minutes. Also, you have a review that's living at consumerguide.com, so we can talk about that. Here's the deal about that. This is Ford's compact midsize pickup truck. Hasn't been a hit since it came back.
No, so they brought it back in...
People don't love it.
No, well, they brought it back in 2019, and it had already been in the rest of the world... I can't even remember how long, but for a long time before they brought it back to the United States. And it was already tired and old in 2019 when they brought it back to the United States. And I have criticized the previous generation Ranger out the wazoo. The interior was poorly done, bad materials, didn't look great. It definitely needed a refresh. They brought it back next generation. I think it's only been out in the rest of the world for a year now before we get it over here. And it looks a lot better, and it's a lot quieter. Like, they did a much better job with this. This is what, frankly, the Ranger should have been in 2019.
I drove the GMC Canyon.
Uh-huh.
Briefly at an event, and that was updated this year. It's got new engines,
mm-hmm.
But the interior was so nice.
Yeah.
They've taken that seriously upscale.
Yeah.
And sometimes, I think when we talk about like big trucks, the Silverado, the Chevy Silverado, and sometimes the GMC Sierra get dinged for not having interiors as nice as the Ford or, Lord knows, the Ram, because Ram is over the top on interiors. But these small trucks were nice. And I think everything's getting more competitive like that.
It is.
It's weird. I don't even know what luxury is anymore.
Because, I know.
And Hyundai's been busy screwing that up for everybody.
Yes, they have.
Right?
They really have.
They've been
have.
Doing really nice interiors for the money. And we just talked about the Santa Fe. So it's getting confusing. But Ford, Ford Trail. You're saying the interior's nicer?
The interior's a lot nicer. It has an up-level, I want to say it's like an 11-inch or 12.3-inch vertical screen.
Why are we supposed to care about that?
So here's the thing.
Everyone always gives us the size of the screen.
It's just say it's big. And a lot of truck people don't like this vertical screen, but I think Ford did a good job with it. You still have some buttons and dials for some of your more frequently touched features. The screen itself works pretty well. I often have a problem with screens because my fingers are cold, and so they don't work for me very well. But I don't know. I got to drive both the regular and the Raptor version of the Ranger, and the Raptor was a blast and surprisingly quiet given the big beefy tires. So on the highway, not very noisy and comfortable. comfortable.
You had written that if you wanted the big engine, you had to go with the Raptor. But is the Raptor a practical thing in terms of dollar value and just sort of urban driving, a thing that anyone really wants to drive?
You know what? I will let you know, TBD. When I get it in Chicago, I will give you that opinion.
Yeah,
it's going to fit in your garage. So here's the great thing about a midsize truck. It's going to fit into your garage, and it's still going to do truck things. Now, the max towing capacity of the Ranger, not the Raptor, but of the Ranger is 7,500 pounds.
That's a lot.
It's a lot, and you're probably not going to want to tow 7,500 pounds with the Ranger, but you could. And it, like, for a short distance, you could do that.
Yeah,
but
we're not recommending it.
But we're not recommending it. But you could.
Yeah.
But you know, it still has like space in the bed, even though it's a 5 foot bed to tow some things or haul some things. And it has a lot of flexibility and functionality in the second row. So you've got a fold-up seat with storage compartments underneath the second row. You have a fold...
Which is handy.
It is. Fold flat seat, so the seat back comes down. So if you had like a big box or something you wanted to put in the cabin, you could do that. And it has, kind of Ford-exclusive features like the zone lighting. It has this tow assist, backup trailer assist feature, which is amazing. It has, you know, just some really like Ford's 360 safety features and blind spot monitoring and all the things. And I think this is a really well done, nice midsize truck. And people are like, well, is it better than the Toyota Tacoma? And what I want to say is, it is not as well designed as the Toyota Tacoma. I think the Toyota Tacoma, like, they did a great job. They knocked that out of the park.
They had to.
But
so much legacy there.
I think it's quieter. It's going to have a higher tow rating. You're going to be able to tow more stuff. It's more functionally a truck.
Also, it's probably going to be a better deal, at least initially.
Yeah.
Right? Because the Tacoma went way up in price.
Yeah.
And I believe they're hard to get anyway.
Yeah, they are.
So they're expensive, and you're paying list.
Yeah.
So
at
least. That's rough.
Yeah.
But the Tacoma, I mean, if the new Tacoma is as good as the old Tacoma...
They'll sell every single one they make.
Yeah. All right. So just to clarify real quick, new Ranger on sale now?
Soon.
And brings it back into competitive?
I think so, yep.
Okay, cool. All right, we should take a break. When we come back, we talk to Steve Dale of Steve Dale's Pet World. Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom. She's Jill. Jill, how's it going?
It is going well.
Give me a hand here. Throw me a bone.
Oh, do I have to?
Yeah.
You want to talk about Twitter?
I do.
Okay. What would you like to say about Twitter?
Oh, thanks for asking, Jill. I am Car Guy Tom on Twitter. You want to know what my most popular picture on Twitter was last week?
What was your most popular picture on Twitter last week?
A Buick LeSabre with an aftermarket vinyl top. Now, that may not sound like fun.
I'm like, that's kind of hideous, actually.
But it was my most popular picture.
Okay.
And that's the crowd you can hang with if you follow me on Twitter.
I'm just going to...
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I'm Car Guy Tom on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah, and I use the Car Spotter hashtag.
Yes.
All right, I am excited about today's guest.
Yes, you are.
I'm very excited. All right, our guest today is one of the most respected pet experts in the nation. He is the host of Steve Dale's Pet World, heard weekly on WGN Radio, and he's on the phone right now. Steve, how are you?
Well, when you say throw me a bone...
No pun intended.
Steve,
maybe a little bit of a pun.
A little bit. Steve, I was trying to make a list of all the stuff you do, but I think I'm going to need you to help me with that. Tell us a little bit about Steve Dale's Pet World and what else you do.
Oh, my goodness. Well, people don't want to hear about me. Well,
they do.
Thank you. I speak at veterinary conferences around the world. I have written books about pets. I don't love writing books, but I guess I'm going to do another fairly soon.
Excellent.
I'm a certified animal behavior consultant. So on the radio, on WGN for 27 years, I think it is. As you mentioned, I've helped people with their pet behavior issues for 20 years, a nationally syndicated radio show, and I serve on several boards of directors, including the Every Cat Health Foundation. So if you have a cat, everything pretty much we know about that cat. It was once really funded by this nonprofit organization. I'm on a couple of other boards of directors as well, and including the Human Animal Bond Association. And I like what I do a lot.
That's clear, I think. And Steve, I follow you on Facebook, and I know for a fact that you travel a lot. And I know I want to talk in a moment about cats and dogs and cars, but I want to talk about something else first, and I think it's very important. And that is your artfully composed pictures of food in airport lounges. which are absolutely, they're a blast to follow. And I want to ask you about the most recent picture, because I think it was a bowl of corn chowder and a very large cup of gummy bears. Now, tell me if I'm wrong.
You are not wrong. I think gummy bears are very, very important. And I happen to be at the Boston airport, so of course they had clam chowder. And actually, it wasn't bad.
And the gummy bears, were they like generic, or were they like
the Haribo? Brand?
No! They were real. Can I tell you something and you won't tell anyone?
Yeah.
Nobody.
Okay, guys, this is just between us. What I do is I go to where the coffee is and I take a coffee cup, you know, and they've got those plastic lids on coffee cups. And I fill up the gummy bears inside a coffee cup. And then I can take them with me and have them that night, the next day.
Excellent.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Keep it on the down low.
I'm totally doing that. Because I travel a lot as well. And I always look at those things and I'm like, what am I going to put it in? A coffee cup. That's brilliant.
Yeah. Yes, thank you very much.
So, Steve, you'll be happy to know my daughter is out in Colorado right now. She's about to earn her master's degree in animal behavior.
Wow.
Yeah, pretty exciting, following in your footsteps. But one of the things that she does, and this is part of the reason we really wanted to talk to you today, is that she travels reasonably regularly from Fort Collins, Colorado, to Palatine, Illinois, which is almost exactly 1,000 miles, with a cat. And I wanted to get your take on the best way to do that. How should people move a cat or a dog 1,000 miles, especially one that's not used to sort of making that trip?
Yeah, okay, so the best way to do that is to have a small dog, if you happen to have a dog, or a cat, and I'll explain why. It's because putting the dog in cargo, well, it's possible. Never mind the expense of doing that, which over time, if you talk about multiple trips, would really be an issue for most people. But it's also, that dog is in cargo, and the ASPCA and most, the American Humane Association, most groups say if you can at all help it, don't do that.
Okay.
Take the dog in the cabin with you, but in order to do that, the dog must be small enough to fit in the carrier that goes under the seat in front of you, which most cats also are. Now, a couple of comments. If you do take a dog that goes in cargo, book directly. No stops on the way, if at all possible, because that's when pets get lost, when they're transferred from plane to plane. It also just makes the trip longer. Make an appointment first with your veterinarian to make sure that there is a proper health certificate. Most airlines require that, and if the destination is outside the United States, it'll be required as well.
Oh.
Purchase a USDA shipping crate. Really, people have come in. I know this sounds strange, but with the strangest things like a potato sack, and that just doesn't do it. Make sure your pet's crate has proper identification on the crate with the animal's name, but more importantly, since animals can't read, your name, your contact info, everything there is about you. So if they can't reach you one way, they can reach you another way. Make sure that at every stop along the way, the airline knows that you've got a pet traveling in the cargo hold. Do not drug your animal before going into the cargo hold unless you have had prior experience with that pharmaceutical. What is generally safer is what's called a nutraceutical. Those aren't pharmaceuticals. They're not nutritional supplements. They're a hybrid kind of in between. So, for example, there's a product called Zylkene. Z-Y-L-K-E-N-E. It's a hydrolyzed milk protein. It's like great grandma said. You're worried about that test the next day? Have a warm cup of milk. And it does the same kind of thing. It just takes off the edge a little bit. If the pet is that fearful about flying, then see your veterinarian. If you've got to make that flight for a safe product. Again, I'm talking about in the cargo hold. Now, the answers are just a little different if you're able to take the pet with you. There's two ways to do that. One is to have a legitimate service animal. The airlines are saying increasingly, and I understand why, no to comfort animals.
Right.
It's because people took advantage of the system. And yes, there was one peacock, but that wasn't, that's not typical that people take a snake on a plane and say, this is my comfort animal. I believe mostly those people were looking for attention or media, social media, whatever it was. But for the most part, people do say, I'm going to bring this pet on the plane as a comfort animal, because at that point in time, they were not being charged. A service animal may not be charged against, you know. So that's why people were doing it, and also because they were bigger dogs that they did, mostly because what I'm about to say, they were bigger dogs that, for all the reasons why I mentioned, they didn't want to go in cargo. Cargo really isn't heated very well. Cargo isn't very air-conditioned also. So the pets really do. So if you have what's called a brachiocephalic dog, that's fancy, isn't it?
Those
are dogs that look like they walked into a wall because they have the pushed-in faces.
So
pugs, bulldogs, French bulldogs, shih tzus, Pekingese, and the list goes on. Of these dogs, they can have trouble breathing, even if it's 75 degrees outside. And here the cargo hold in the summer may heat up when it's on the ground. In the air, it cools off a great deal, of course. But on the ground, it can heat up a great deal. So it's not recommended that those dogs, plus if they get anxious, they could have difficulty breathing as well. Those dogs don't do well often in cargo holds. Talk to your veterinarian before the trip for the right pharmaceutical or right nutraceutical product for that animal, which depends on greatly that individual animal and that animal's history with traveling. Now, if you're going, as was what I was saying, if you're going on the airplane with that pet, it's slightly different because you're there with the animal. So that dog or cat is going to feel better about being there with you.
Sure.
Make sure you make those reservations in advance. You just can't walk to the airport with that pet. Make sure that pet is in a safe carrier. Some people will say, okay, at Homeland Security, I want to see that animal. So for dogs, it's easy. You could take them on a leash and harness. For cats, say, I want, you have the right to do it. I'm about to say, by the way, if they demand the cat come out of the carrier, well, that's asking for trouble. So you can actually say at the Denver airport, even though that airport's gone totally crazy, I need a private room. So that way they can close the door. So if the cat gets out of your arms, the cat's not going to go far. So hopefully they won't say that. I don't understand. But I guess people can smuggle stuff that, you know.
With
I don't know.
They can.
I don't know. I don't really know. But I do know that it's important that your pet have identification. True for cargo holds as well. It's important your pet have identification just in case the worst happens. That should always be the case anyway. A microchip is a good idea, but make sure that microchip is registered to you.
Yeah.
Have the, again, these animals, I mean, no one's telling them, oh, the pet parent's getting extra mileage by doing this, so it'll be fun. Or they're going to Disney World, and you are too. It'll be fun. No one's telling. So oftentimes they're anxious. Now, for your daughter that travels each and every week with her cat, the cat at this point probably has become accustomed to the whole idea of getting in the carrier, going from place A to place B, and then once at the airport, place B, then going on the airplane, all that. However, most pets don't do this every week.
Well, Steve, my daughter usually drives, which gets me to the next question. For a very long drive, say for a large dog, do you recommend the same sort of pharmaceutical situation if a dog's going to be in a cage for 10, 12, 15 hours, but in a car, not a plane?
And should they be in a cage in the car?
Well, that's a very good question. How would they be restrained?
Oh, wow. Okay, lots of questions there. So first of all, for pharmaceuticals, I'm a fan. When veterinarians prescribe, and typically they do, the right one for the right pet, and you don't just first try it out, like, let's see if it works. Let's see what happens. Let's see if the animal reacts first trip on the plane. In a cargo hold, if there is a problem, you can't do anything about it. You're not there. which is why I don't love the idea of pharmaceuticals in a cargo hold. Having said that, there are some products that can be used that are likely to make the pet sleepy. And in my view, it's better to have, you know, people say, I don't want my pet drugged. Well, it's better to feel sleepy than to feel panicked.
Mm.
And these animals sometimes feel panicked. I just want to make sure they're safe. If they're in the, you know, under the seat in front of you, on the airplane, in the cabin, it's a little different because you have a little more control if things go sour. And you're right there with the animal, which helps to make many animals feel better. They could smell you even if you don't take them out, and you probably shouldn't, because that's airplanes often say, or the airlines often say that, don't do that. So don't do that. But they see you and they smell you, and that makes them feel more comfortable. Okay, about car rides.
Yeah.
First thing is, make sure they are accustomed to, for a cat, make sure the cat is carrier trained. It's probably too long to tell here, but it's about getting the cat accustomed to the carrier. Secret is keeping the carrier out all the time, like it's a piece of furniture, dropping treats inside the carrier, and now it's an automatic food dispenser, then taking the cat on a tour of your house inside the carrier, letting the cat out for a meal so the cat gets something really good right after the carrier. Then, and this is true for vet visits as well, then take the cat in the car, go absolutely nowhere, bring the carrier back upstairs or downstairs or wherever your house is, and through the door, and then, again, a meal. Something good happens after the cat goes from the carrier to the car, just sitting in the car for 10 seconds in the carrier, then go around the block, then go around two blocks, and then make it a slightly longer drive and come back. It's a lot to go through, but it's really not. And the idea is that if you can get the cat, the problem is when you have to chase the cat, as many people do, not your daughter, I'm sure, because she knows all this, but when you have to chase the cat around the house to stuff the cat into the carrier, by the time you do that, if you can do that, the cat is actually literally, potentially, thinking, I'm going to die. So you have a panicked cat before you even get to the airport. So no wonder the cat is screaming. Now, could you use products to help? Of course. I'm a huge fan of using pheromones. I'm a huge fan of these nutraceutical products that take off the edge. And if your cat needs it, there is nothing wrong with finding a pharmaceutical that your veterinarian can help you with. And again, choose the right one. I am all for that. But you can actually get cats and dogs accustomed to car rides. Now, many dogs don't even have an issue, right? It's like, with the car, because that means, you know, I'm going to have so much fun, and they want to be in the car. Now, there's two distinctions that I'm always asked about. Is that dog getting sick because the dog is car sick, or the dog is anxious? And that depends. It could be one, it could be both. So if it's anxiety that you think is the issue, some dogs just get car sick, and there is a medication for that that truly helps. Don't use over-the-counter Dramamine. Talk to your veterinarian about the dog medication that is a... Your veterinarian will know the name of it. I do. Your veterinarian will know for sure. If that's the case, don't feed your dog or cat right before the trip. However, for dogs in particular, some cats too, you can keep them occupied by giving them treats during the trip. Not a lot. Just a little bit. For dogs in particular, stuffing some of that low-fat, low-salt peanut butter inside a Kong toy or one of the many hundreds of toys out there now that dogs can work at. So the dog has kind of a occupational therapy as you're driving along on that trip. If the dog needs or cat needs pharmaceuticals, be sure to bring them with you. Be sure to bring fresh water. You know, water changes from destination. Now, if you go back and forth all the time to the same place, it's not necessary. But if you're going a week to grandma's house, not a bad idea to bring a bottle of whatever water you typically use.
Interesting.
And that way the dog gets slowly adjusted. Some dogs will actually get an upset tummy. Not most, but some. Because the dog is, and people too, by the way, because the water is just different. Of course, bring a food bowl, bring plenty of food, bring plastic bags. Stop on the way. Understand your dog has to do what you have to do on the way. If hopefully you're not traveling by yourself, because I hate the notion of leaving the dog in the car. Last year, we had a record number of people probably traveling with pets. we had a record number of dogs that died in hot cars, 163 to be exact. Booster seats for dogs, yes, they have seatbelts and everything, and they're safe. If not the dog, if it's a small dog, should be in a crate. If you're traveling in a larger vehicle, then a crate even for a midsize or larger dog, and a cat always in a carrier because that cat can get scared by something, anything, and now the cat is underneath as you try to press down on the brake.
Not good. Steve, we have flat run out of time. Remind us how we can keep track of everything you do.
SteveDale.tv is where you can sniff me out.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us today.
It's a pleasure. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care. That was Steve Dale of Steve Dale's Pet World. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, it's
quiz time.
Quiz time. Stick around.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. This is the Car Stuff Podcast. I'm Tom, she's Jill, and it's quiz time. But first, we endure Jill's litany.
Litany?
Litany.
Litany.
Extensive list of social media outlets. Go.
Go. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Posts, Threads. And yes, I have a MySpace page, but I haven't touched it in several years. But on all of those things, you can find me at Jill Simonello. I think on LinkedIn and Facebook, you can follow me without me friending you or linking to you. So, you know, definitely think about doing that. And I want to say kind of...
that way they don't have to actually interact with you.
Well, no, they can still interact with me.
Oh.
Because they're public posts and public pages. But okay. It's Jill Simonello at Car du Jour. But, you know, kind of going back to Steve Dale and talking...
SteveDale.tv.
SteveDale.tv.
That was not a mistake.
JillSimonello.com. Uh-huh. I have a webpage.
I don't.
But I wanted to go back to some pet travel stuff really quick. And I have posted, I have a bit, and I wanted to get to this, but we have to have him back and have a conversation about this more in depth. But I have angst? Anxiety, maybe. Mm-hmm. Anxiety is anger. I don't know. At any rate, whenever I see a dog sticking his head out of a window, I am very worried about that dog. And so I do occasionally post on my social media about this dog sticking his head out the window.
Dogs do that.
They should not do that because
Dogs love that.
But that's a bad owner. And I'm sorry, yeah, I've just turned a whole bunch of people off. I've heard
that's a bad thing.
Well,
but.
So here's why. Because there's debris, there's dirt, there's dust that comes up from the road, from other cars. And if their eyes are open, so maybe if you put goggles on them, it's not as bad. So like little eyeglass goggle thingies, but like you could blind them. And that just really, really concerns me. And the other thing is if the pet isn't restrained and you get into an accident, like it could not only kill the dog, but also kill you. And I'm very worried about that.
Yeah, things were different in the old days.
I know. Well,
my parents used to let me heat my room with a Weber barbecue.
And I used to sleep on the floor of our station wagon while my parents were driving without a seatbelt.
Yep.
So, I mean, things are very different, but I worry about pets that are unrestrained. So I would love to have Steve back to talk about that.
I do love seeing a dog stick its head out of a window, though.
When it's parked. I like seeing it when it's parked.
Yeah. All right. Did we get through your social media stuff?
Yeah, Jill Simonello.
I mean, you're right about the dog thing, but...
I get very worried. It is cute, but I get very worried. And I feel bad for the dog and I worry about the safety of the dog.
Understood.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
And we should have Steve Dale back at some time.
Yeah.
All right. Are you ready? It's quiz time.
All right. And apparently I'm going to have to, I've got 13 minutes.
Yeah.
I can do this.
You went off on this whole weird dog head out of the window.
I just needed to get
that
off my chest.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm sorry if people hate me now.
Yeah. I'm sure people are as indifferent about you as ever.
No, I'm not. People are very angry when I bring up this whole pet safety thing.
All right. Are you ready?
Yep.
Today's quiz is pretty standard stuff. Which is real?
Okay.
I'm going to give you two cars. You have to tell me which
Name
one
the
is
fake?
Real. Yeah, except we're picking the real one this time.
Okay, so
are you ready?
Real, not fake. Okay, got it.
I'm going to give you two.
Okay.
For different brands. Ready?
Okay.
All right. Toyota.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't talk about the rules. You need three to win.
Yes.
So at least two here and the bonus question or three total.
Yes.
All right.
And I've been on a streak lately.
You have.
Let's see if we can continue.
You've been on a streak this year.
I know. Yes.
All right. Toyota. Which one is real? The Toyota Starlet or the Toyota Stanza?
Ooh. I feel like they both are real. Stanza or Starlet? And I said I was going to go quick, and I can't go quick on this one. Starlet Stanza. Starlet Stanza. Starlet. Real.
Starlet is real.
Mm-hmm.
Only 1984. It was a very small Toyota.
Okay.
Subcompact. I drove one once. Nicest shifter I ever drove. I've said that before. I'm not kidding. It was a four-speed manual, and it was a really early indication of just how high-quality Toyota products were.
Okay.
Dog slow. Painfully slow. Really cramped. But there it was. A really reliable car. They sold it 1 year, 1984.
All right. Woohoo!
The Stanza was a Nissan sold between 1982 and 1990. Or 1982 and 1992, it was replaced by the Altima.
Wait, I'm woohooing and I got that wrong.
No, you got it right. You said Starlet.
Yeah.
Real.
Yes, but you just said Stanza.
Stanza was a Nissan.
Oh, okay. I was like, but then I got that wrong. Okay.
No. Everything here is real.
So both real cars.
Yeah.
But which, okay. So right. The question is, so it's all real cars, but it's like, which is the...
But I'm saying the brand in front of it.
And so is the brand... So are all of them real and it's just the brands
are
wrong?
Yes, every one of them is going to be real, but one of them's got the wrong brand, yes.
Okay.
All right, ready? Mercury?
Uh-huh.
Mercury Villager?
Uh-huh.
Or Mercury Vision? One of those is real.
Villager.
It is.
Yes.
Yeah, available from 1993 to 2002. It was based on the Nissan Quest, a smallish minivan from Nissan.
Yes.
They're all on the road still.
Yeah.
I'm stunned by how many. The Vision, do you remember what the Vision was?
Nope.
It was an Eagle.
Well, I don't remember Eagle,
It was an LH car. That was the platform. It was similar to the Dodge Intrepid and the Chrysler Concord. It was offered between 1992 and 1997, so you have two.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Subaru, are you ready?
I am ready.
Outback L.L. Bean or Outback Eddie Bauer? We've actually had this conversation before.
Crap. Because those are both viable choices for Subaru.
Back in the weird days of licensing.
Yes. I feel like Eddie Bauer might be Ford, though. Oh.
At some point, we have to talk about the Chevy Venture Warner Brothers edition. Or not.
I believe that's all, folks. And you just looked at, like, your phone, and I think... I'm saying...
People
like,
are messaging.
I got the same message. It was from Sam again.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, say those again. The L.L. Bean and...
Subaru Outback L.L. Bean or Subaru Outback Eddie Bauer?
I'm going to say L.L. Bean.
That's correct. You are 3-for-3. The Eddie Bauer was Ford.
Okay.
I'm trying to think when that kicked in. I think he kicked in on the Bronco 2, which was a horrible little car. A horrible little crossover.
Not the current Bronco.
No. Yeah. The Bronco 2 predated the Ford Explorer. And there was an Eddie Bauer Ford Explorer. I sold those.
Okay.
All right, you are 3-for-3. You're on a roll. You've already won Volkswagen.
Okay.
Which one of these is real, the Volkswagen Fox or the Volkswagen Firefly?
Now I have that horrible, what does the fox say? Song in my head. Sorry.
I don't know what that is.
Oh, I'm totally sending you the YouTube video because
no,
it will be very much stuck in your head. Totally necessary.
No.
If you're out there listening, Google that if you aren't familiar. And there was a very funny commercial with Khalees recently where there's like two foxes dressed up. Khalees, my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard. That song. But she's talking to two foxes and they're like, wait a minute, she speaks fox? Okay, but I digress. Fox. Okay, I'm going to say the
like
Volkswagen Fox
here.
Is real.
The Fox is real. Available between 1987 and 1993. It was a subcompact position underneath, I think it was the Rabbit at
what
the time.
The fox
so it was
say?
It was a price leader.
Okay.
My buddy Bob had one. It was actually a charming little car. For some reason, he kept going through mufflers. The Firefly.
Okay.
The Firefly was a Pontiac sold in Canada between 1985 and 1991. It was based on the Metro, which was built by Suzuki. If you want a weird resume, the Firefly has it.
Okay.
You were 3-for-3. Can you go four for four? Can you go 5-for-5?
I don't know.
I need the fake. Or no, I'm sorry. I need the real one.
The real one. Not find the fake.
The Ford Gremlin or the Ford Granada?
Oh, I feel like the Gremlin went with somebody else. So I'm going to go with the other one, is real.
Granada?
Yeah.
Ford Granada is real.
Yeah.
I don't say this a lot about any car because I like to be objective, but what a piece of crap. The Ford Granada was available between 1975 and 1982, and probably the car that was in for maintenance most at the gas station I worked at in the 80s.
Okay.
Everything broke on them all the time. Power steering pumps, air conditioning condensers, they were just really unreliable.
Okay.
The Gremlin, you were right, was an AMC model between 1970 and 1978, replaced by the AMC Spirit. You went 5 for 5.
Whee!
Now you have the bonus question, which is punishment.
Punishment?
This is punishment for not knowing who Uhura was.
Oh, whatever.
Are you ready?
I now know who Uhura is.
That's good.
But I still have never seen her in anything. I don't watch Star Trek. We had this conversation on the Facebook page. I did not watch TV before I got married, which was 10 years ago.
I feel like Uhura transcends just seeing the show.
Does it?
Yeah.
No, it does not.
Feminist icon, civil rights icon. It was a big deal. Big, big deal.
Again, probably before I was born.
Also, as far as we know, she made out with Gene Roddenberry, so that's interesting, too.
I am not going to tell you that I don't know who that is, but go ahead.
Oh. Well, you're going to have a hard time with the bonus question.
Yeah.
Jill, according to The Wrap, that's therap.com, which of the following
R-A-P
is...
R-A-P?
Okay. Yeah, that's a good question, actually. Which of the following is the most beloved Star Trek character of all time? Are you ready? I'm going to give you a list.
All right.
Uhura.
So, by the way, like Chad Kirshner, one of our previous guests, is listening to this right now, and he's cringing.
He lives and breathes Star Trek.
He really does.
Yeah, he makes me look like a neophyte. He just knows Star Trek.
He does.
He also watches the weird series I Don't.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not watching Discovery, because it's weird.
Okay.
I need to know, we have 4 minutes left, which of the following is the most beloved, according to The Wrap, Star Trek character? Uhura, Bender, Worf, or Spock? You know who Spock is.
Yeah, he's the one on the list. I do know who he is. And I would not think he is very beloved. I don't know. He's
Star?
Just very, very... I mean, maybe he is. He's certainly the most well-known, I think.
Certainly one of the best cast characters in TV history.
Leonard Nimoy. I even know that.
Wow.
I know. So Leonard Nimoy transcends...
He does.
Like watching the show.
A lot of nose hair, I think. But that's irrelevant right now. I need to know the most beloved character.
I was going
to
say very pointy ears, but...
Well, they weren't real.
I know.
Nose hair's real.
Well, because I just... Spock was all about, like, logic and...
Yes.
So that's why I wouldn't necessarily think of him as being beloved.
All right.
But...
Well, of the four,
but the look that you gave me tells me that I'm wrong.
Uhura, Bender, Worf, Spock.
And didn't Worf have the funny face?
Well, he was a Klingon.
Okay.
Yes.
So I know some things.
Worf was awesome.
I know some
is
things.
Is awesome.
Was,
that
is.
Character's still alive in the Star Trek universe.
And I have no idea who the middle one or the other one is, other than now I know who Uhura is.
Uh-huh.
You know what? Just because of the look you gave me, and I'm going to be wrong, I'm going to say Spock.
It is Spock.
Oh.
Number two on the list.
Okay.
Are you ready for the whole list?
Okay.
Just tell me how many of these you know. Ready? Most beloved of all time. Picard, Spock, Kirk, Data, Riker, McCoy, Sisko, which is weird, Odo, Worf, and Kira. And I'm really unhappy with Kira on this list.
Okay.
But Picard, captain of the Enterprise D, next generation.
Okay, and that was, what's his name? The bald guy.
Yes. The bald guy.
The bald guy. Again, didn't watch TV until I got married.
Yeah. Spock, Kirk, Data, Riker. I'm glad to see Riker on this list. We are practically out of time, Jill.
Okay.
I don't even know where to go now. I have 270 seconds.
I'm 6 for 6, though, on this quiz.
Oh, that's right. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Let me sign this for you because you picked Spock. There you go. A 6 for 6 are very nice.
Yes.
This goes to you.
Oh, yes. Thank you. I will frame it with all the other ones I have.
We covered everything. We talked about Cupra. I wanted to talk about two polls I took. We'll do that next week.
Okay.
I just finished a review of the Subaru Outback Touring XT.
Mm.
That is a darn fine vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in Touring XT, here's the thing. You don't have to pay this much for it. You don't have to get a Touring XT. But the one I drove was $44,000.
Okay.
And very much approaches luxury level.
Yep.
In a lot of ways. But the nice thing is that it approaches them in legit ways. It is quiet. It's refined. It rides and handles well. Those are like the fundamental dynamic ways that something should be luxury, and it is.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, mileage is mediocre, but I did everything else really well. I fit in it well. I did drive it a little bit in snow.
Hmm.
Just write this down. Every Subaru, except for the rear drive coupe. What's that? The
BRZ.
The BRZ.
Yep.
outstanding in the snow.
Yeah. Well, because they standard all-wheel drive.
And it's good all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
We should point that out. It's really good
all-wheel
drive.
It's very good.
So that's a heck of a nice car. That review's up now. And then I have your Ford Ranger.
Mm-hmm.
That's up now.
Mm-hmm.
And then where does your Santa Fe live?
That lives on pickuptrucktalk.com.
So you have to send me a link to that.
Yep.
And then I will forget, so send it twice.
And I have a video on that as well. So.
Well, send me both.
Where I talk about five good things and five bad things on the vehicle.
Oh, what are the bad things? Give me one bad thing.
Well, you already talked about the one, which is the blinkers.
Oh,
the other
yeah.
is the...
For the kids at home, that's a turn signal.
Or turn indicator. The other was, again, another one, I guess I should say, is the wireless charging overheated my phone.
That's your phone. That's a Jill's phone thing.
But it overheated my drive partner's phone as well.
Weird.
So, yeah.
Weird. It must be the new iPhone.
This is not the new iPhone. This is a 13.
Oh.
So maybe it's
I have
a 13 iPhone,
iPhone 2
problem.
Or something, but or an X, which was before the numbers. All right, we ran out of time. Big thanks to Steve Dale of Steve Dale's Pet World. Check him out at stevedale.tv.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jill, for being here in studio. Thanks to producer Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. And a special shout out to my radio mentor, Steve and Johnny. I will be joining Steve and Johnny on WGN Radio in Chicago at midnight CST this coming Saturday.
Central Standard Time.
That.
Yes.
All right. Let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.